Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion. This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake. This is part two of our
summer movie preview.
Renowned summer movie.
Not infamous
preview.
This time.
No, it was infamous last time. Show. And you saw it turn. You know,
well, infamous means like it's evil or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but like evil mastermind. Huh. With the emphasis on mastermind. So this is part two. We are in the last show. If you haven't listened to it, we covered everything coming out in May and June. We're also covering now June and August. We'll play some trailers. July and August. We'll play some trailers. We'll talk about the films. We'll throw in some other films that we'll talk about. And then along the way, we have a little competition between my partner and I. My partner is the defending summer movie preview champion. He won 2014 by more accurately predicting which films would be both critical successes or failures and commercial successes or failures. For those who don't know, we base our critical success on Rotten Tomatoes, which at the end of the, as films come out, they give a film a red tomato or a green splat based on the
percentage of positive reviews.
And then for commercial success, we are going by basically do films make back their budget in North America alone.
Right.
So you don't sort of slip one by being huge in Austria.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be.
A lot of movies that are big in Austria.
Well, talking of someone who's big in Austria, let's get right into it with our first film in a new year.
Nice segue.
Yeah, you like that? Didn't you? There you go. We haven't done one of those in a while.
There's a commercial for this, so you're going to have to talk
over it.
That's
okay. I can talk over it. In the last show, we invented the term. We copyrighted and patented the term requel, which is a phrase for a film which is both reboot, sequel, remake, which seems to be the current trend in Hollywood.
Or some blend of them.
Some blend of all those things.
And this is a perfect case of it.
Perfect case.
John, you can do this. You just go and you don't look back.
My whole life I prepared my son to lead humanity in the fight against the machines.
On this night, we take back our world!
But there was one thing I could never prepare him for.
The machines tried to rig the game. Send a Terminator back to the time before the war to kill my mother.
I'll go back. Let me save her.
You know who I am?
We've been prepping for you to arrive for over a decade.
We?
The Terminator.
It is nice to meet you.
I've been trying to teach him to blend in. I know it needs work.
All right.
So, Terminator.
Technically, Terminator 5.
Right. Fifth.
The fifth.
Called Terminator Genisys. Genisys being spelled G-E-N-I-S-Y-S.
Why is that? Do you think there's something in the movie, or is there actually an alternative use of that word?
Maybe helps the trademark claim. I'm going to guess that like Genisys is a program, like just like some sort of like meaning.
Something to do with the movie,
the governmental program, or the it's called Genisys or
like
something.
Skynet,
right? Yes. So
which of course
I got a little confused by.
This is the first ever film trailer to leave me completely confused as to what's going on.
Well, first of all, actors-wise, we had the first three, which had a consistent set of actors, right? So you had...
It had Sarah Connor. No, she's only in two of them.
Right, she's gone.
The only constant is Arnold.
I don't mean characters, but I mean actors. Well,
Arnold.
Edward Furlong.
He's only in one of them. He was replaced by Nick, someone who plays him in the third movie with Claire Danes. I can't remember the guy's name, but it's Nick something.
Okay.
Nick Stahl.
Because then in any event, the three seem like a cohesive package in some sense. And then we did the next one with Christian Bale as John Connor.
But Christian Bale famously started berating other people on set.
Right.
That seems to be the most, that's the only thing about that film I remember.
And Sam Worthington plays that sort of like, he doesn't know he's a Terminator kind of thing.
I don't even know if they
go back in time.
I never even saw that one.
So this one now is, I think it like starts in this future time with John Connor, who John Connor is played by, Jason Clarke, which doesn't jump out at people, but he was...
you'll recognize
him. He was in Zero Dark Thirty.
He was in Zero Dark Thirty. He was in Planet of the Apes.
That's right. The most recent.
The most recent Planet of the Apes. Right. You'll see him. He's in a lot of things. Very good actor.
So he's playing John Connor, and he's going
to... He was also one of the villains in White House Down with Channing Tatum. He's okay. one of the terrorists. Right.
And they get wind. They get wind that... the Terminator or the, you know, the machines are going to send somebody back to the beginning of Sarah Connor, like, or, the, or like bef- in the one they come to kill her when she's already got the kid or whatever it is. This
I'm,
is going to like
with you.
Catch her when she's a kid and kill her.
Okay.
So they start sending people back.
Still with you.
Then the guy who plays Reese is, Jai Courtney.
Okay.
Who doesn't he look so, totally familiar, but I cannot for the life of me figure out what he's been in. He's definitely been a sub. Anyway, so they send him back. But then it turns out, and you can't tell it from this thing, but it turned, like when she says, we've been waiting for you. Oh, but by the way, I should mention, Sarah Connor is played by Emilia Clarke. And of course, because you refuse to get HBO because you're cheap, you
yes,
won't
I
know
am.
That this is the one of the main stars of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
She plays the Queen Daenerys.
I'm really struggling to hang into this now.
That's fine.
I'm not quite and following even, the film.
So,
you're talking
so
about
as it
Game
turns
of
out,
Thrones.
It turns out like when they get there to like the young adult or maybe 20-year-old version of Sarah Connor, the Terminators had actually been back to her early life and raised her. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger had like basically came back, but somehow they changed it around. So Arnold is turned. Meanwhile, they've got somebody playing the role of the Melty, you know, the Melty version of Terminator.
Yeah, Melty.
When I was reading the review, like these all have names. They're like T-1000, T-800.
The T-2000 is the Melty one.
And that part I don't know anything
about.
And
then there is then the girl Terminator.
Right. Then a version of John Connor shows up, and he's now some sort of affected by nanobots, so he's sort of some person. So now we've had like another version of things, and everybody's just falling all over each other. So effectively, they go back and they've rechanged history. This is how
okay.
it essentially is a reboot because you're redoing the history of Sarah Connor in a different way, you know. But it's all, I mean, this is the perfect requel because
it
is a sequel, but because
it's within the plot
of the actual series, they've rewritten history. Because they went back in time and they rewrote history.
This is the old... Actually, I'm going to now be dead straight here. And you did start to lose me there. And when I watched the trailer, I'm not quite sure if this is a remake or if they're just redoing bits of it or if it's supposed to fit in with the other timeline. This is a classic example of a time travel movie creating so much antimatter that it just logically collapses in on itself.
Yeah,
I have no idea from the trailer what's going on. I'm not sure I want to try and find out what's going on. The only thing I'm dead sure about is that Arnold is in it, which at the end of the day, I hate to say this, at the end of the day, that is the only reason 99% of the audience go to a Terminator movie is to watch Arnold ham up a little bit, say, I'll be back, and then kill people. That's, I mean, and I don't want to be mean about...
I think if we watch a preview later, he says something like, I'll be back, and she's like, what?
Again, yeah. Terminator 2, the second one that James Cameron did,
yeah.
I think Terminator 1 is ultimately a B-picture where he just shows up and he smashes places and smashes things up, and it did make him a star. Terminator 2 is actually... Epic is too strong of a word, but it's the first one where James Cameron married science fiction sort of thought processes with action. You can enjoy Terminator 2 and just enjoy it as Arnold smashing stuff up. But if you also want to go in... It's not thinky sci-fi in that respect. But it does honestly take... Sort of try to get its, you know, storytelling pause around some time travel stuff. So I will give Terminator 2 that credit. This one, I don't know what's going on. I watched the trailer. All I know is at the end of the day, Arnold's going to kick a little ass. And so that will probably get me in the cinema. Other than the dude that we talked about, what's his name again, from Zero Dark Thirty?
Jason Clarke.
I don't recognize anyone else in this film. Again, I don't watch HBO. That's the one thing from our Terminator preview that is staying with me logically is I'm too cheap. But other than that, nothing else is making sense about this film.
Emilia Clarke's British, if that counts for anything.
Spelt Emilia with an E, not Emilia with an A.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I don't know with this one. The director is a guy called Alan Taylor, who I just looked him up on Wikipedia. He's done a lot of more sort of... he did one film in there called Palookaville from the 90s, which was like a comedy with Vincent D'Onofrio, which I remember watching. It was quite good, a little independent movie from back in the late 90s when they had all these sort of independent serial comedy type movies. I didn't know much else about the guy. he's the one who's, you know, at the helm of this thing. I'm ready to make a prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say financial success. I mean, I think...
Yes. Yeah. You're going. Finish your thought.
I think it's another one that's going to have mixed reviews. I'm going to say critical failure. I think people are going to say what we're saying, which is, what? It's falling in on itself. This is too messy, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense. It probably doesn't hold together. I don't think they've got the talents attached to this from a writing perspective to make it work as a real, hey, wow, that's an intriguing idea. It's like just playing with all the time travel stuff and making a mess of it.
This is one of those films that, in terms of our game, that irritate me a little bit. I'm going to say this. I think it's going to be a critical bomb.
Right.
I think ultimately it's going to be a critical success. But
wait,
I think...
Wait.
Sorry, it's a critical bomb. This is a film that ultimately is going to be a financial success.
Financial success.
But it is one of those films that's going to just make it across the line. It's going to open big, and then week two, it's going to plummet. I am still curious about whether Arnold, we've talked in the past about different people. I know in the last episode we talked about Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and I was suspicious of his ability to open a film, just the fact that he's in it. I think this is a litmus test for whether Arnold still has that. Can Arnold open a film by the fact that he's in it?
I don't know if it's like, I think the big strength of Arnold in this is going to be, it's going to give a thread of continuity. Like, I think when the Christian Bale one came out, people are like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, even though you had the rotating cast of characters, you had a thread of continuity and
having. And Arnold's not in that one, which ultimately, right, at the end of the day,
because people were like, I don't get it. What's this about? So now people, even if it doesn't really do a lot, and it won't surprise me if when the movie actually comes out, we don't have as much of him as this preview seems to indicate, it will be the thing that brings people in to say, ah. And I will also say that I think this is what they're trying to do, is essentially reboot a franchise. Again, we know that all the studios right now want to have a recurring property.
Yes.
And there's an interesting story about this, you know, that the rights to the Terminator were owned by like another outfit or studio that went bankrupt.
Golden Globus. Was it
something
them?
Else?
Or Canon? It may have been Canon. Because again, the first one is
Under, and they offered up the rights to this thing for like $60 or $70 million, and apparently, like, Joss Whedon offered him $10,000. Ultimately, in the bankruptcy dismantling of that company, one of their major creditors, which was like a hedge fund or something like that, ends up owning the stuff. Got it, like, took it out for like $20 or something million, then sells it off.
Might have been Lionsgate.
Yeah, but ultimately, you know, I think their plan here with this is, let's get everything restarted, and we can keep making movies like this every other year that will have some sort of link to it.
Yeah. So there you go. Terminate the Genesis, spelt with a Y.
Yep.
But only one Y. One I and then a Y.
Exactly.
All right, so we're done with Terminator.
Yep. So
let me hit the bell.
Just keep this pace along.
Sorry there. Yeah.
The next big action movie of that month is Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation. Tom Cruise, you know, Jeremy Renner.
I think this
Simon
is number
Pegg,
five
blah,
in the
blah,
franchise.
Blah. Yes, I think so.
Are we doing predictions? I don't think we're doing
Chris McCarry. Chris McCarry is the writer director. He's known as the director of Jack Reacher, Way of the Gun. He's writer for Edge of Tomorrow, Valkyrie, Usual Suspects. Obviously has a big Tom Cruise link. I don't know if he's a Scientologist also.
Probably. I've seen Way of the Gun. It's a mid-90s, again, I've been throwing this around a lot, like a little sort of an indie thriller with Benicio del Toro and Ryan Phillippe. It's actually quite good. You go in there thinking you're watching some sort of action movie. Yeah. You're not. You're actually watching like a film noir type film. It's quite good. I'm surprised that Tom Cruise went back to the well with Christopher McCary after Jack Reacher. I didn't think Jack Reacher had done that well.
No.
Definitely didn't do well critically.
Yeah.
But obviously, you're right. They're obviously buddies, or Scientologist buddies, and he's got them in together. I checked out of the Mission Impossible franchise after the first one. I've never actually seen any of the others all the way.
And they had
through.
All different directors, and so they were all a little bit different. Some of them, I mean,
I hear the last one was very good.
Very good.
Because Ghost Protocol, it was quite well reviewed.
I think
never
we just mentioned one of the directors we just talked about was a Ghost Protocol director in one of the movies from the first.
Yeah, Brad Bird.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And that was supposed to be very good. Mm-hmm. Are we making a prediction?
Yeah, I'm critical. I'm going to say down, financial up. I mean, it just is what it is, you know.
Yep, I'm the same way. I think it makes money. I don't think the critics fall in love with it. It's number five in a franchise, and unless you're doing something
It'll be interesting to see how much they market the connection to Edge of Tomorrow. Because, again, you know, Cruz, there was a moment where people were like, oh, this isn't working out. And actually, Edge of Tomorrow didn't really make a lot of money to start, but I think it did well on video and things. And so...
One of Tom Cruise's... I've never been...
He's shirtless in one of the... You know,
I've just, never been a huge Tom Cruise fan, but I thought he was very good in Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah. One of the films from last year I quite enjoy. He was very self-effacing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's great when he does that.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure. I think Mission Impossible is reaching the stage... I can't believe I'm going to say this. Mission Impossible now needs to reboot itself.
Well, it was supposed to. Jeremy Renner was supposed to take over.
Oh, he was?
That's why they introduced him.
And he was busy taking over in the Bourne film. Yeah, he was a dog.
Well, and both of them, he basically, if you read the reviews, and I don't know how much of this is speculation, in both of those, he was like, oh, let's bring him, and they made him step back on both. And he doesn't carry the movies the way the megastars did.
No, I think he's a very good actor, too.
Yeah.
No, I actually think he needs to do a bit more.
Because, what's his name? Is coming back in the next
That's
Bourne
the tour.
Movie.
I've not heard anything in a while, though.
And on this one, I think he was supposed to step in, and then they were like, we'll stick with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for Jeremy Renner.
I'm not going to see this movie. It's not no. way, but I think it'll, you know, critically.
He doesn't, you're right. He doesn't carry films, but I think he's a terrific actor. I think he needs to go back to doing more of, I've had a brain lock now, the one that won the Oscar.
The Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker. Yeah. I mean, he was great in that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it'll make money. You know,
he's
Tom Cruise.
He shoots the arrows in those Avenger movies. Like he's like
a that's right. He's in Avengers, isn't he? All right, so let's roll on.
Yeah, so another movie that's coming around in the early part of July is Vacation. National Lampoon's Vacation. No, this is
a requel.
And then,
no, it's a sequel.
It is a sequel because the premise of it is that Ed Helms, who you know from Hangover and
TV's
The Office, is playing Rusty, you know, the son of Clark Griswold.
So it's
Chevy Chase.
So it is technically a sequel.
Yeah,
it's a straight up sequel.
Leslie Mann, who we know is the wife of Judd Apatow, plays Audrey.
Thing about Leslie Mann, yeah.
Plays Audrey Griswold, which I think was his sister, and then Christina Applegate plays Debbie, which I think must be his wife.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, like, he's basically pining for his old vacation, and so his new family is going to go to Wally World. So we get some time with Chevy Chase, because I think he visits the grandparents, but it's, like, the story itself, like, it's self-referential, but it's a sequel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I guess in a way this is a reboot in the sense.
No, it's not a reboot. It's a sequel.
It's a sequel in terms of timeline, but I think they're going to reprise a number of the stories. But they're going to reprise the stories while acknowledging they're reprised.
If Ed Helms.
Like, I think they have a scene, like, you know, Christie Brinkley, like, drove alongside the car in the regular. They have a scene like that with another actress. But they're going to obviously make it obvious that we all know that this happened before, kind of thing.
I'm actually going to throw another term for this that actually makes it a ripoff.
Yeah.
Now, if he was playing Rusty pretending to be his dad, then it's a reboot.
The writer-director is a team. It's John Francis Daly, who you might know from Freaks and Geeks. He was the younger son and Freaks and Geeks. And he and Jonathan Goldstein have now been
Freaks and Geeks, of course, Judd Apatow, and Leslie Mann is Judd Apatow's wife.
That's right. Horrible Bosses. They did Burt Wonderstone.
The original
Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs.
Saw that.
Yeah, these are relative. Like I didn't know this guy was
Horrible Bosses was very funny and very clever.
So what I can't figure out is we could not find a teaser preview of this. I don't know if that means there's problems with it. I mean, it doesn't seem to have any buzz or attention whatsoever, just listed as coming out. But, you know, listen, if they did that well, you would think that would be a success. I mean, Vacation, the original National Lampoon Vacation was a success. National Lampoon, like, I don't know if this is put out under the auspices of National Lampoon. I assume it is. But, like, they went from legendary comedies to just a lot of schlock. I mean, like, they had those series of Van Wilder things, you know, that you know, they just spend $20 to throw this thing out. And I don't know if this is going to be more like that or more like harken back to the great stuff at the beginning.
I'm going to make a prediction.
All right.
Double bomb. Kablowy. Booyah. And I say that because I'm actually not a big fan of the vacation films, full stop. I don't think that... I'm going to sound like a real intellectual elite right now. They're a bit too broad for me. They're a bit too broad.
Is there anything too broad for Zeph?
Yeah, they're a bit too broad for me. Now, you can say, oh, Hangover's broad. Yeah, but there is a there is a spine to hang over that is very clever. I don't know. I never thought this
one I find very hard to predict because we don't have, like, I don't even have like a shot of it to see what it feels like.
What do I care? I'm going to make a
prediction. No, I understand. You're Russian where fools feel fear to tread.
Exactly. And I'm the fool,
fearing to tread.
I'm going to say double bomb. I'm not sure the vacation brand plays now.
Mm-hmm.
It may appeal to people our age, but I think it does. Yeah. Come on, you think. I'm going to ring the bell just to move you along.
Oh, I'm going to say it's a financial success because maybe it's cheap, but critical failure also. I don't really see it.
I think that's a very realistic review. Okay, what do we have next?
Next we have on my list another movie that we don't have the preview, not that it's not out there, but it's not really worth listening to, Selfless, which is self/less. Not just selfless, the word.
Selfless, yeah. Well, although it's funny, when I saw it in some places, it was selfless. A dying wealthy man, played by Ben Kingsley, undergoes a freakish medical procedure that transfers his consciousness into the body of a young man, Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like a futuristic thriller, horror. I didn't know anything about this until I read that write-up and then I read the trailer.
It's like a horror version of Big.
Sort of, yeah.
I guess it's the same character. Tom Hanks becomes the other one. It's not like a switching of brains kind of thing. But there's lots of brain switching movies that have been gone in the past, that happened in the past. There's the comedy one with Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin. That was pretty funny.
I like Ryan Reynolds. It originally sounded to me, and then I looked online to look at the history. It
also has Matthew Good from The Imitation Game.
There's a movie that was made in the early 60s with Rock Hudson, directed by a guy called John Frankenheimer, who made Ronin, who made Black Sunday, who made the original Manchurian Candidate. He made Grand Prix. Great Irish-American director. The movie is called Seconds. It's black and white, and it stars Rock Hudson. And it's about a wealthy man who's getting old, and he wants to live. He feels he hasn't lived his life properly, and he wants to live his life over. So he goes to this mysterious clinic corporation. So it's early 60s, but sort of set in the 60s, but there's a futuristic edge to it. And basically, they have a way of giving him plastic surgery and making him younger. And so this old man walks in and he comes out as Rock Hudson. He starts living his new life and he finds as a person that he doesn't like it. He hates what he's done to himself. So he goes back to the corporation to demand his money back. And they go, oh, yeah, you're going to get your money back. And then at the end of it, the last 20 minutes is him sitting in a waiting room and then being strapped to a gurney and being drugged. And it's suddenly dawning on him that he's now about to become the body for someone else that wants this treatment. And you're looking at me with the last 20 minutes of Seconds, and I'm not a horror film fan. It is gripping cinema. And it's not graphic in any way. It's gripping cinema. It's terrifying because you're with Rock Hudson and you have figured out as he goes back into the corporation that he's not getting his money back. They're going to transfer his organs and identity to someone else.
Since we're doing a summer 2015 movie preview, I don't want to dwell too much on
the old
movie.
No, I know, but I just want to say, I'm not sure. This film is called Seconds. If you ever get a chance to watch it, watch it. When I saw this write-up for Selfless, I suddenly thought, oh, is this a remake of Seconds? So in a weird way, I've just spent 5 minutes shouting out a film from the 1960s.
Anyway, this one apparently, like, the big question comes up is where did this body come from that he's gotten put into? And then, like, the memories of the other person start coming back.
It sounds to me like a remake of that film. Yeah. But again, the last 25 minutes of that film are terrifying.
So the director is Tarun Singh, whose big credits as a director are Mirror Mirror, which was something.
Is that teen comedy?
No, with like Julia. Maybe, well, Julia, she's got an apple. It's like a Mirror Mirror on the Wall Cinderella thing, but it's some sort of weird twist on it.
All right, yeah.
And The Cell, which was that horrible movie with
Adrian Brody?
No.
Is he in that one?
Jennifer Lopez.
I'm a big J-Lo fan. Jenny from the
Block. I'm saying double bomb on this one. Just going
to... Yeah, I didn't know we were... I guess because we've talked so much about the other film, we have to make a prediction on this one.
Yeah, do you want to predict the one from the 50s? That might be easier.
That film didn't do that well financially. I'm going to say double bomb as well, which is a shame because I love... So Ben Kingsley is great, and I love Ryan Reynolds. And I so want Ryan Reynolds to have a huge hit. And every time he does a summer movie, it sucks.
It does.
He did that RIPD. I mean, and he's great.
I can't figure out why isn't more successful.
I can't figure out either. Maybe it's because he's Canadian. I don't know.
Could be. He does seem a little Canadian.
Yeah, he's married to someone.
A little too nice.
Famous too.
You know, he did that one. That one. Didn't he do a police movie that was kind of tough?
No, he did Safe House with Denzel Washington. Oh, he was quite good in it.
Yeah.
But then I think his last summer movie was R.I.P.D. with Jeff Bridges. That thing bombed. We didn't even preview it.
No. Right, right.
All right, do we have a trailer online?
We do have a trailer.
Otherwise, you're just going to hear me ramble on about movies from 50 years ago.
Yeah. Restart the tablet.
Restart the device. We're still in July.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find much. July's a funny old month. This year, there's a Magic Mike XXL. I never saw the first Magic Mike, so go and see that if that's your thing, with Channing Tatum.
Oh, yeah. My clips are out of order here, but there's another commercial you have to talk for a second.
So there's a Magic Mike sequel.
Yeah.
There are some other films we're going to come to. The film called Paper Towns with – it got a double page spread in Entertainment Weekly, and I'm looking at the cast, and I don't know any of the people in it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That one was looked too much of a drama.
All right, here we go. Let's go with a trailer.
Girls, your mother and I are getting divorced. Monogamy isn't realistic.
Monogamy isn't realistic.
Again.
Monogamy isn't realistic.
I didn't understand that word at the time, but now I know exactly what he was talking about.
Saturday, I would love it if you were my date.
I can't do that because, like, you and I won't ever see each other again.
I wake up late every morning, money just cooling, I'm still yours.
Morning.
Oh, Amy, what happened? Did church let out early?
Ooh, I like Tom's sweater. Does he teach computer in a church basement?
Don't get all threatened just because you don't understand the concept of marriage. You dress him like that so nobody else wants to have sex with him? That's cool.
Hey! Hold on, I was drunk last night. I was still
kicking in and I don't feel right. I'm just a modern chick who does what she wants. Which we haven't even seen the co-star of it yet.
Is that Lion in the Box?
Hey, Mark Wahlberg, shut up. Mark Wahlberg? Mark Wahlberg was like 150 pounds. I look like Mark Wahlberg ate Mark Wahlberg.
Also not
before
the co-star.
You judge, you should know I'm doing fine. My friends are awesome. My apartment's sick. And I have a great job at a men's magazine.
I like you, Amy. You're clever, but you're not too brainy.
All right, that's enough of this. Anyway, this should be the big launching vehicle for Amy Schumer. The hype machine is in full effect on Amy Schumer these days. Everybody's like, oh, that's the next great female comic actress, comedian.
The film is called Trainwreck.
Trainwreck, yes. The premise, of course, is that she's a Flander, or, you know, she gets around because she learned from her dad that, you know, it doesn't work out, as they said at the beginning, and she ends up with Bill Hader, who's like a nice guy kind of thing, so trying to turn some of this stuff around, you know, one of these plots turn
around.
I love
your use of the phrase, gets around. You are now sounding like a parent.
Yeah,
even though you're not a parent, you're of the age where you say things like, oh, she gets around.
There's a whole bunch of, like, I don't have the list here,
Judd Apatow movies.
Yeah, Judd Apatow. So now, to this point, I would say, other than the, like, if you just said Amy Schumer's doing a movie and this is the plot, I would have said,
yeah, thanks.
I don't think it's going to work.
Comedy Central.
Great play by her to get Judd Apatow to do, because you've got to assume that it's got some level of writing to it now and directing. Bill Hader is awesome. You know, he's always funny.
Very funny. Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's got a possibility here. I'm not sold on Amy Schumer yet.
Do you watch her show?
Yeah. I think she's very funny in, like, sketch comedy. I just don't know if she's actually an actress. I don't know, you know, but we'll find out.
It's funny. The more I watch the trailer, the more I chuckle. But there are a couple of things. I don't know Amy Schumer. I don't watch her on TV. When people talk about, or whenever I hear the name Amy Schumer, it suddenly reminds me that I'm not halfway as hip as I think I am, because I don't watch it. Judd Apatow does have a pretty good pedigree. Although that being said, his last couple of movies, I think, were sort of in that moment where Hollywood, that used to rave about Judd Apatow, is doing their little, you know, sort of sneaky time to kick you back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah.
It's got a good cast.
That was Colin Quinn's voice at the beginning. That was John Cena in the movie. Then the guy saying he was twice as big. Tilda Swinton is in it. Vanessa Beyer, who's from Saturday Night Live. Dave Attell, we heard his voice there. He's the old comedian there, although he's not certainly not.
LeBron James is in it.
That's what it says. I think
he's in, like, unless it's another.
I think
LeBron
he's in
James.
Two movies this summer. I don't know, but I imagine he does not have a deep role. Marissa Tomei is in there, although she's playing herself. I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what it means to play herself, but I don't know what that means for the plot.
Okay, this is a comedy coming out in July. And I've always got a theory that, you know, there's one comedy that sucks it all up. We've had Ted 2's already come and gone. The one with Melissa McCarthy, Spy, will have come and gone. I'm going to make a prediction here. I think it's going to make money. It's a comedy, so it's cheaper. I think it's going to get beaten up critically. I think part of that is not to do with Amy Schumer. The reviews are going to go, oh, Amy Schumer's great. And then I think Hollywood are just waiting to stick the knife into Judd Apatow a little bit. They hammered This Is 40, which I think was his last movie with Paul Rudd and his wife Leslie Mann in it. You know, they've been a bit hum and ha about Judd Apatow movies in the last couple of years. I think the critics are going to have their knives out for it a little bit. I think they're going to go, Amy Schumer's great, but she needs a better vehicle than this. Because it's a comedy, I think it's going to make money. I'm going to tell you now, it's not the biggest comedy of the summer.
No, it won't be the biggest comedy of the summer. You know, this is one of those ones where I think you're going to see a cycle of hype, backlash, double backlash.
That was the phrase I was looking for. I'm sorry.
Where backlash. It's basically, somebody's going to say, certainly not denigrating this fact, but back, you know, people used to say, oh, it was all these male-oriented comedies, you know, 40-year-old virgin, all these other things, you know, old school, all this stuff about like misogynistic males, yep. And they're getting all the party thing and all. You know, between Bridesmaids, The Heat, all these movies, it's, people are flipping that around. And, you know, the initial thing is, oh, this is great. I imagine there will be a level of people who go, this again? Like, it's the switch around thing?
Yeah.
And then people are going to go, here, the double backlash is going to be like, well, how could you possibly say this again? It's been 50 years of the other version from the male side. Now you're going to tell me because 2 years of, like, comedies or 3 years of comedies where the woman is on the opposite side of this stuff is now bad? Oh, now, see, now you're against it for saying this again. You know, you should – it's going to be just like a menagerie of stuff. So at the end of the day, the critical reviews, I don't know if there'll be real critical reviews or if they're all going to be statements about gender issues.
And I want to jump on a little bit because we've had – you know, who is it?
Catherine, you said financial success, right?
I'm going to say it makes money.
Yeah.
You've had Kate Hudson take a swing at the rom-com. You've had Katherine Heigl take a swim at the rom-com in Judd Apatow. Judd Apatow's the director. You've now got Amy Schumer giving it a go. I do find it interesting, and I know we haven't looked completely. We are very selective in terms of what we choose to put out there. But it's interesting that out of the major comedies we've talked about, one is Entourage, which, you know, I don't know any of the people in it really. One stars a bear and the other one stars Melissa McCarthy.
And then there's a couple of comedies where
what I'm saying is there seems to be a lack of male lead comedies. And so I'm not saying this is how it should be, but I am sort of agreeing with your point that some scribe is just going to put the boot in just because, oh, it's another comedy with all women. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
I think I'm ultimately going to say that, just to be different than you say, critical success, because what I think is funny is, you know how we just did this? We just played it all out ourselves here at the table about what's going to go on. I think there's enough critics who know now the way this stuff works that they'll play out that whole script in their head themselves, because they will look at the movie, they go, oh, another one of these. Why am I saying another one of these? Will be what the entire review is about. It's so meta. It's like the review is about the review that they're actually giving at that moment.
In fact, it will be a film review genesis. Film review is going back to another film.
I'm going to go back to the first paragraph of my review and revise it coming forward. And this is what it. So I think ultimately the reviews will be positive because people will be afraid to be negative for the stereotypical.
Right. So wait a minute. What are you saying? So because I've written down critical sucks. But you aren't actually saying critical good.
I'm going to say critical success.
Critical success. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I need to write it out. This is the problem with your acronyms. Yeah. The good part is I've done it all with arrows, like up and down, so it's simpler.
Sucks is nothing more than success with all the fun taken out of it. Da-dum. Okay. Get it? Sucks. Success. All right. Next film.
So, yes. Sorry. Next film, we got another trailer.
Because we played a trailer, so I ring the bell.
Yeah, no, good job.
Yeah. That was $3.50 off eBay. I haven't had a chance to use it in anger yet.
So this one mystifies me. I'm not sure what the heck this is going to be all about.
Oh, it's one of those. Oh, here we go. It's finally starting.
Long green screen at the beginning.
Imagine a soldier. The the size of an insect. The ultimate secret weapon.
If you give godlike powers to everyone, it's going to be chaos.
So how do we stop him?
By knowing I. Scott, I've been watching you for a while. You're different. And I believe everyone deserves a shot at redemption. Do you?
Absolutely. My days of breaking into places and stealing stuff are over. What do you want me to do?
I want you to break into a place and steal some stuff.
Makes sense.
Are you ready to become a hero?
Now, the suit has power. You have to learn how to control it. And these are your greatest allies.
You're kind of cute. Whoa.
When you're small, you have superhuman strength. You like a bullet. So you need to know how to punch.
You want to show me how to punch? Show me how to punch.
That's how you punch.
All right. Ant-Man with Paul Rudd as a superhero.
Yes, Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is a superhero.
We just talked about Judd Apatow. Paul Rudd, obviously one of Judd Apatow's gang, but he is now doing the comic book route. Obviously hoping to follow the land plowed by Robert Downey Jr. rather than the one plowed by Seth Rogen as, was he Green Hornet. And that thing went in the dumper.
Yeah, the one with Ryan Reynolds was also a green thing, and that failed.
Green Lantern, something. I don't know. I don't know anything about Ant-Man.
I'm going to go too deep into the rabbit hole, but okay. This is a Marvel property.
Okay.
So Marvel has this, you ever heard MCU? It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
And this is how, you know, they've been doing these movies like the Iron Man, the Hulk, and then they mix them all together in Avengers. They actually have, they've said that's phase two. We're in phase two of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the beginning of which was bringing
the Avengers
together. It's
an amusement park for mouth breathers. People are just losing their minds.
I happen to know somebody from work who is like, they are so into Marvel stuff and like keeping up on this stuff. It's like a whole world.
Okay.
I mean, this is how these franchises, Marvel, of course, owned by Disney, just like Lucasfilm and everything else now.
Oh, I didn't know Marvel was owned by Disney. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's all part of the same family here. So this one, so starting this fall, there's going to be a new movie out. It's called the Captain America Civil War. And now that's going to be phase three of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where now the various heroes are going to be battling with each other. So instead of, you know, they brought them all together, now they're going to be battling with each other. Technically, this is the last movie from phase two, because we need to like introduce Ant-Man. Apparently, in the comic books, Ant-Man was in the Avengers. But since we haven't had the character yet, he's not in the Avengers and the TV stuff. I mean, in the movies
of
things.
Shields. Yeah. Yes.
So now we're going to have Ant-Man here. And so theoretically, this will bring Ant-Man in as a potential character. I'm sure Paul Rudd was, hey, I'll sign on to that. You know, I got a living here to make. So I was like, I don't have to. Fits in all the sort of, that's how
what
it fits
the, what
in.
What
really.
Is the character's shtick?
Oh, so he's got this suit. He's like a regular person. He's a thief, as they kind of alluded to there.
The voice of Michael Douglas is in this.
He's one of these superheroes who's working off equipment, basically.
Okay.
He's got this equipment that makes him tiny and small, like an ant, and he can get around that way, and he's super strong when he's in his small phase.
So he's not just wearing a suit like Batman.
No, it's some magical.
So he's a bit more like Spider-Man who got bit by the radioactive spider.
So it's like a scientific element to it.
It's interesting. That seems to be the big difference between a lot of DC and a lot of Marvel. Marvel, at their core, are all humans that have been something or othered. DC are all humans that just put on the suit. I know that's very
trite, broad generally.
But as someone who doesn't read any of these comic books,
the Marvel stuff is all like, so the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, that's Marvel too.
Yeah.
And that's all supposedly part of the same universe, and there's a way they could pull them in.
So
when I first looked at this, I thought, this is weird because, you know, not only is Paul Rudd, you know who wrote it? It's Paul Rudd and Adam McKay. I mean, Adam McKay is the main writer for all these comedies and things and all. So it's clearly supposed to be funny. Now, that preview had a little bit of funny moments, but it wasn't purely like a comedic version of this
stuff. Frankly, no. And I'm going to say something. I'm going to harken back to last year.
Paul Rudd hasn't really written a lot. He's been
You and I both completely missed how big I think we both admitted to missing that we didn't realize Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be huge. Mm-hmm. We didn't say it was going to be huge. We both selected Godzilla as the biggest movie of the summer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. All right. But so I think I was more...
Yeah, you were more than me.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that film.
Of course, I also thought Jupiter, whatever the heck thing, was going to be pretty decent.
Yeah, double bomb.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy's trailer was very funny. Like, it put it up front and center that we're kind of making a little bit of fun here. You're going to have some laughs. Right.
This one, correct. Not so much. A little bit.
You don't get any of that from
it. A little bit, but not nearly like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And that's the interesting thing. The fact that it's got Paul Rudd in it, and it's been written by Paul Rudd and Adam McKay, I can't decide. Then at some level, they've got to go there.
Yeah, and I can't, which again, it's such a big studio thing. Like, well, think about it. Iron Man has a comedic element, too. You know, a lot of these sort of jokes, it's a different type of humor than this.
But Iron Man's been done. This is the problem. I remember when I watched Iron Man, I didn't see it in the cinema. I saw it on DVD or Blu-ray. I thought it was great. I really did. I laughed. I thought it was clever. It is still, to me, of those sorts of superhero films, unlike Batman, Christopher Nolan's Batman, you know, the sort of... slightly tongue-in-cheek attitude of the Marvel characters, Iron Man was that. The trouble with, if Ant-Man goes that route, the problem is that's already been done by Iron Man.
Yeah.
And it's been done very well. And I like Paul Rudd. I know where I'm going to go when it's prediction time here.
No, here's the thing. I totally couldn't figure it out at first. I think at the end of the day, because it's, again, a big student. Now, I will say the director, I think his name's Peyton Reed, he's got like nothing of note. He did The Breakup, you know, that bad movie with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, yeah, that movie sucks.
Yes Man, which was a
Jim Carrey
movie.
Yeah, that movie sucks.
You know, so I'm a little skeptical about that piece, but again, big studio behind it, presumably, you know, the writers, they're very good. So I'm just going to say up and up. You know,
all right, up and up for Eric. Yeah,
critical success, financials. I think it's, I mean, listen, a Marvel movie almost... It's impossible not to be financially successful.
Okay, then I'm going to run Cult to Culture.
Double down?
I think it is. I think it's going to be. It's going to pass the 65% threshold. Right. The critics aren't going to love it, but it's going to pass the 65% threshold on Rotten Tomatoes. I think the movie's going to bomb.
Right. I mean, I think it's a reasonable position to take.
I think it's going to bomb because, unfortunately. It's funny, when we talked about Mission Impossible, we talked about Jeremy Renner, and we talked about how they've tried to position him in these franchises and it doesn't quite work, and they, ultimately they still need to keep the other guy around to make it work. I'm not convinced. I think they are looking to repeat Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. As much as I like Paul Rudd and his persona, I don't think he can pull it off. And I think we're looking at another Ryan Reynolds, Seth Rogen scenario. I think this is the first Marvel film that will bomb financially.
Be careful underestimating Paul Rudd. And Paul Rudd has done
I understand that. And I like him a lot. I just think, you know, for superhero movies to work, there is some indefinable chemistry that work. It's the reason Tobey Maguire was apparently worked as Spider-Man, and then the other dude didn't. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think Tobey Maguire's that great in the first place, but Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man, maybe because he was first, connected with the audience. The other dude, Andrew Garfield, didn't and will soon be replaced.
Yeah.
I worry this is going to happen to an actor that I like. I am going critical success, financial bomb.
All right. There you go.
And I hit it hard there.
Yes,
because I felt bad. I felt bad because I like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
But you know, Paul Rudd, you're getting paid more than me. What do you care?
A couple of movies that we don't have previews for. Southpaw is a boxer movie with Jake Gyllenhaal and Rachel McAdams. You know, drama type of thing.
God. Just reading it off, I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, the director... can't read his name here.
Antoine Fuqua.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Antoine Fuqua. The Training Day, Equalizer, Shooter, a lot of things. You know, Eminem was originally targeted to be the lead in this, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently the story is sort of like, it's obviously not about music, but it's supposed to be a story that's like an Eminem-based story. For whatever reason, they went on to Jake Gyllenhaal,
again, you know,
who looks like he's been on steroids in the pictures that they show.
Saying things like Jake Gyllenhaal and Rachel McAdams, and I'm like, oh, God, yeah, thanks for coming.
It's going to be a critical success.
We're reviewing it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit mean.
What do you mean?
Not about that.
I was on the list.
Okay. All right. So you're saying critical success?
Yeah. Financial
But come on, you can't have it. It's up or down.
Failure.
Failure. Financial failure. So double bomb.
No, a critical success, I said.
No, for me, double bomb.
Okay.
Double bomb.
You think it's not going to get good critic reviews?
I don't know anything about it.
All right.
There you go.
How about, we don't have to predict this one, but I just want to note it. The Gift, which is a horror, not a really horror movie, like a thriller slash, I don't know what you'd call it, but
I love the cast.
Jason Bateman and Rebecca Hall.
Yeah.
Rebecca Hall is from The Town. She was the main victim in The Town. She was also
in a terrific British miniseries that was released in the cinema, The Red Riding Trilogy. That's all I'm going to say. Look it up if you're curious. She was in it. I think she also dates Sam Mendes, the director.
The writer-director, Joel Edgerton, who is better known as an actor. He's in the Star Wars prequels and Gatsby and was in
I always get my Joel mixed up. What's the name of the Joel who's on Community? Who used to kill you? I always get them confused. So anytime I read Joel Edgerton, I think, oh, that's the guy from Community. But it's not.
Yeah. Jason Bateman, I feel like he's never really caught on the way he thought he would catch on in the revival after Arrested Development. And so he keeps grabbing at different things like this. We don't have to predict it unless you want.
No, I don't want to predict it, but this is one I'll probably go and see. I like Jason Bateman a lot, and I think this is the moment to now play completely against type. Everything else is played on his.
You can't tell from the does look like that, like, because he's the victim in most of the preview, and then it seems like they're hinting at a twist. So
he needs to do something different than that sort of slightly hapless straight man who you know is smarter than everyone else. So right. In the Identity Theft movie with Melissa McCarthy, even though he's very good in Horrible Bosses 2 bombed. What was the one with the little kid? That was the closest he came to playing a character with Ellen Juno. That was the closest he came to playing a character that was unsympathetic. And I think career-wise, I don't know if this is what it is in this film, but I love Jason Bateman. Please be unsympathetic.
Yeah, I love him too. Wouldn't be good.
All right, so we're in August. So we're heading into the home stretch.
I got another trailer here for you.
The 2015 summer movie preview. And you're having trouble loading it, so I'm going to flip pages. Of course, we are going. All these films can be found in Entertainment Weekly. Yes. Entertainment Weekly do not pay us to use their summer movie preview. We'll give them free advertising. And because they never do anything for us, I'm going to tell you it's a dying magazine with a website that sucks.
I was about to suggest you tweet this over to them, but now you put the boot in on them.
No, I will still. And we will actually have pictures of us reading the.
They still following us?
Yes.
Is there one of them?
Hmm?
Is he looking at us?
Hmm?
Does he have just one hand on the steering wheel?
Mm-hmm.
When you hear something that sounds like a gunshot, drive. Nicely done.
We recently discovered the existence of an international criminal organization.
Hey, look, there he is again. It's the guy from Mad Men.
Yeah. Rumor has it
Red built an atom bomb.
We have no choice but to work together to infiltrate this organization.
We'll leave you two to get acquainted.
Napoleon Solo.
The CIA's most effective agent.
Ilya Kuryaki.
KGB, the youngest man to join in their best within 3 years.
America is teaming up with Russia.
Things could get a little messy.
All right. So this is Man from U.N.C.L.E. I don't remember now.
Man from U.N.C.L.E., 60s TV series. We actually played a snippet of the theme tune on our last regular episode, which I think was entitled Two of Everything. It was a 60s TV show about spies. It was all part of 60s spy mania, all sparked by the success of the James Bond films. The TV show starred as Napoleon Solo, Robert Vaughn, and as his partner, Ilya Kuryakin, David McCallum. Very throwaway, slightly surrealistic in that 60s mod way with tilted camera angles and bad jokes. This is a film, basically another 60s TV series getting a reboot. This time it is Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie directing
at the helm. It stars Henry Cavill, who is currently Superman, and it he stars as Napoleon Solo, the Robert Vaughn character, and I say
think
that
Henry Cavill's maybe already done as Superman. He's not.
Yeah, he is Superman. He's currently Superman.
Yeah, but isn't
he? He's currently Superman.
But is he going to be the Superman versus Batman movie?
He is currently Superman. He currently has the.
I thought he was out already.
No. He is
that
no.
Man of Steel.
Spider-Man
movie
is out. The dude, the British dude that plays Spider-Man is out. Mm. Andrew Garfield.
Well, the Man of Steel movie was horrible. I was kind of hoping Cavill would be out.
Henry Cavill still in as Superman and apparently heir apparent for the James Bond franchise. And he's playing Napoleon Solo in this.
Army.
Arnie Hammer.
Army.
Is it Army? Whatever. Army. It should be Arnie. When you go with some sort of wacko name, it doesn't work. Unless your name is Zeth.
And what did we know him from?
Social Network, where he played twins.
Yep.
And also The Lone Ranger that unfortunately bombed. This movie is a beloved 60s movie. I'm not sure, though, unlike Mission Impossible, which, you know, you say Mission Impossible and people get it. Even when Tom Cruise was rebooting it 20 years ago now, gosh, the first Mission Impossible was 1996. People go, oh, yeah, Mission Impossible from the 60s. I think a lot of people are going to go, Man from U.N.C.L.E., what's that?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be someone like me to go, ooh, Man from U.N.C.L.E., yeah. I will say this. When I see the trailer, there are moments I can tell that Henry Cavill is doing an impression of Robert Vaughn back in the 60s. Unfortunately, it's like doing an impression of someone no one knows.
Yeah,
and if they don't know, then
that
don't
doesn't
know
matter. If it's still
it.
Good. Then people just, they won't know it's an impression. But
I didn't like the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes films. I think they were slightly manic. Yeah, I know. I didn't like
them. I think it even got reviewed well, I thought it was a little too goofy. I liked, you know, the thing that bugged me about that movie, not the sidetrack, was that back in the English time, and he still had to figure out a way to make explosions.
Yeah.
So like, I always love when you have these, like it's a dock, and somehow, well, we just found a lot of gunpowder, because it won't be a movie unless we get a big explosions, even though, like, just not that many things to explode back in the day.
It's interesting. And I want to make a more broad cinematic statement. James Bond is in the same way that you have all these cartoon guys. James, and then you have Star Wars as like the space corner of the of movies. When it comes to spies, there's James Bond, and then everyone else is an imitator. Now that James Bond is back and strong and kind of straight-laced, we are now full of imitators that, like, yeah, this is the fun part of spying. Like Kingsman with Colin Firth was sort of supposed to be the, yeah, this is what James Bond's not doing anymore, which is being very tongue-in-cheek and funny and whatever. Man from U.N.C.L.E. I see in the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the TV series was. Unfortunately, it's not a brand. People are not been sitting around. Although I will say this, Quentin Tarantino about 10 years ago had made very public statements that he was going to reboot The Man from U.N.C.L.E. with George Clooney as Robert Vaughn's character, Napoleon Solo, and he himself would play Ilya Kuryakin. This was a couple of years after. This was a couple of years after they'd made what's the one from Dawn to Dusk,
mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I'd heard that come back. And this was about 15 years ago, and I'm thinking, ooh, that'd be interesting. I'm not sure with Henry Cavill, who I still don't really know, and Armie Hammer, I'm going to say that this movie is going to bomb.
Both sides?
No, I think critically it will get enough where people will go, yeah, you know, people are going to go, critical success, financial dog.
Critical success, financial
bomb
success.
/ dog / dumper. What are you saying? You're saying double up?
Yep.
Double up.
Not going to win the summer, but I think it's going to do pretty well. Yeah. I think what we underestimate is the popularity of Cavill and Armie Hammer with a younger set of people.
But you've just said, and I never saw the Superman film. You just said the Superman you said it was terrible.
Right.
Now, Henry Cavill, what else has Henry Cavill been in? If I'm a younger audience member, what else have I seen him in?
I guess I could pull up, you know.
You could pull it up, but I'm just, that's what I'm saying. I understand your logic in that statement. Armie Hammer may be a bit more, but you know something? He couldn't open Lone Ranger, and he had Johnny Depp alongside him. And I think he's a very talented actor, but, and Henry Cavill, what's he been in? I ask rhetorically.
Yeah.
While you
the
scan.
Tutors.
Who watches that? No one watches that.
You know, he's
from BBC America.
The thing is, he's just getting
in America.
Started. You know, that's the difference.
People know him as Superman.
He's lined up for Batman. You're right. He's still Batman, Superman, Justice League Part 1, Justice League Part 2, Dratton, first into... I don't know what that is. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, so you're going critical success.
Yeah.
You're going double up, and I'm going
critical success. Yeah, I think people success. Say that's fine. I think Kingsman was a financial success, so why yes, wouldn't
it was. This be? Yes, and it was quite well reviewed, too.
Yeah. See, so I got another...
But that's the reason this might not be.
I got another...
Because Kingsman's already been done.
Yeah. Oh. Got another trailer for you coming
hit the
here.
Bell. Yeah, heading go. Towards the end, heading towards the big finish of our summer movie preview for 2015.
Something like that.
Now, I'm not going to lie, as this queues up, I didn't even watch this trailer. I'm going to defer to you with this.
6 years and millions of dollars, and you gave us nothing. What's different now?
Reed Richards. He knows answers to questions we don't even know to ask yet. This is our chance to learn more about our planet and maybe even save it.
I want you to meet my daughter, Sue.
You want to be famous?
I just want my work to make a difference.
Johnny, Reed, this guy doesn't take orders well.
Yeah, especially from people who say, I don't take orders well.
Don't let any of these lab coats give you any crap, all right?
Well, if I do, I know who to call. The Muscle.
I gotta say, it's fun having you here.
Really?
No.
What you've created here is incredible.
You guys sure you're in the best shape to be doing this?
Yeah. We're good.
They just cracked interdimensional travel.
Incredible.
It's not a very great radio-based preview.
All I want to know is where are my children?
Four have survived. All exhibit unique physical conditions.
I just want to fix my friends.
You can't fix this.
You should use these powers to help people.
All right.
Open the door.
Yeah.
You don't know how to.
So.
We did get a bit lost in that, and that's because that's the first time I've seen it. You just heard.
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four.
This is a reboot.
Is this. Cause
no, it's a straight reboot because this is the origin story. I mean, like, this is. What they're doing is.
Who was in the Fantastic Four a couple of years ago? That British guy. What's his name from. Yeah, don't get hung up on who was in it. Don't worry about that. So this is that it came out a couple of years ago. I don't think it did very well.
No,
it's out. There again were two now. Of them
that came out. They did one, and then the second one, Silver Surfer.
Okay,
I think they did well enough, but people were not high on it, and we're not.
Well, like so. I say, the new. I know we've been. I feel like we've been dumping on him all show. The Andrew Garfield Spider-Man did well enough, but not well enough.
Right,
for them to go. Yeah, we need to do more on this.
So here now they redo Fantastic Four, and so they're using Miles Teller of Whiplash. This is big.
Oh, movies. Okay.
You know,
that was
this
a good
is
film.
A major actor.
Really like that.
Kate Mara. From Rooney Mara, but also like the big TV show. What's her big TV show?
House of Cards.
Right.
She was in the first series, and then she got whacked. Yeah, spoiler. Okay.
Right. Too late. Anyway, she's you know, big time
actress. Michael Jordan's in it.
Yeah, not the basketball player.
But oh, not the basketball player. Okay.
No, he was in Chronicle.
And then Jamie Bell.
That's the other guy. I don't know.
Isn't he the...
He ends up being the Rock guy.
Is he so the English really guy from... What was Billy Elliot? Is that Jamie
Might
Bell?
Be.
Okay.
Might be.
Well, anyway. Right now we don't know, but we're going to say it is.
So they come on as like scientists or whatever they are. Then they, through the interdimensional travel, get turned into the Fantastic Four with their weird properties. I never find it, you know, Fantastic Four is another Marvel property. And I first started to look and go, oh, how does this fit into the whole thing? Well, it's a Marvel property, but it's still licensed to Fox. So it's not part of the Disney stuff.
So it's not part of the universe.
Just like X-Men.
It's a parallel universe.
X-Men is Marvel also, but it's not part of the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, because it's not part of the Disney group. All these things are licensed to Fox right now.
Okay.
Which is, you know, there's a Spider-Man element to that. That's the reason they crank out Spider-Man movies.
Columbia owns the rights,
you have to do something.
But Columbia have now cut the deal with Marvel.
Right, where they're going
to... That it goes back to Marvel, but Columbia will get share of it. Or Sony, as the parent company is.
So the director here, I mentioned Chronicle. The director is Josh Trank, who's best known for... Chronicle was that... the
Chronicles of Riddick.
No, it was the one where like the teenagers get the power to move things around with their minds, and everything goes into mess. Pretty well reviewed. It was sort of a smaller sci-fi movie in a way. he was, but most importantly, well, most not important, most recently famous about Josh Trank is he was slated to be the director of the Star Wars Rogue Nation movie.
You know, the little side movie. He got canned.
Recently, he said he stepped down. But apparently, the reason he got canned was his behavior on this movie was like totally nuts. And like he destroyed $100,000 of damage to some place and stuff like that.
So they were like, you're out of there.
So, you know.
So he was double bombed.
Yeah, this one, I mean, I really like Miles Teller in Whiplash, and I like Kate Mara. I got to guess this isn't going to work either.
I'm actually going to have... So you're going to go double bomb?
I think so,
It's very rare that you throw double bombs.
I know.
I'm gonna
I just think this property doesn't work for movies. Like, it's too cheesy. The stretchy guy, the fire guy, the guy who turns into rocks. I mean, you can't even use him as a normal actor.
There's some truth in that. I think it's one of those things that works as a comic strip, and it doesn't work in the films. And the proof is the fact that they've had two films that I think did okay, but it didn't do well enough that they kept cranking them out. Yeah. So clearly, I think it's fair to say it is the Fantastic Four have failed to throw another F in there. Yeah. But I'm actually going to use this as my first asterisk. I always have one asterisk every year.
Of course.
So I'm using my asterisk now. I think this movie, critics sucks is too harsh of a word. I think the critics are just ambivalent to it. I think it falls below 65%.
So it's down on critics.
But I'm going to say something now, because I don't want to get caught out last year like I got caught out with Guardians of the Galaxy. I've said that Ant-Man will bomb financially. So... Fantastic Four is going to be successful financially.
Okay.
But here's my asterisk. If Ant-Man is successful, then...
It'll steal the...
Fantastic Four will do financially the opposite of Ant-Man. That's a strong prediction, right? Anyone could go, oh, it's going to do well. No. I'm now doing two movies. If you've been to the races where you have to bet on the first horse and the second horse, I do that all the time when I go to the races.
In other words, if Ant-Man is successful, it's going to suck the air out of the superhero thing.
Whatever reason you need.
But
all I'm doing is I'm doing the tough. Anyone can pick a winner. I'm picking the first horse and the second horse.
No, but you already wagered on what Ant-Man was going to do. So basically what you're saying is, if I'm wrong on Ant-Man, I'll also be wrong on this.
Yeah, I'm going all in. That's brave. And I don't even watch these comic book movies. Where Ant-Man, I don't know who Ant-Man is. Fantastic Four, I don't know who that is either.
It's an exacta bet. You're betting
two
things correlate.
But
you realize that...
I am boxing the exacta, which means I get it both ways.
No.
What I mean is, if I was going to say that one was good and that one is bad, that would be a true exacta. But what I'm saying is one of them's good and one of them's bad, but I'm not picking which. So that's like saying I'm going to pick the first two horses, but in any order. I am boxing
When we have to do the count, it's going to...
That's brave. I'm going to write in here, box double, exacta.
Right. Box exacta.
That could be enough for me to win the summer.
No, because you're not going to get any extra points, because if you box exacta, you're doing a 50-50 bet anyway.
Yeah, but it's a harder bet to make. Anyone can do one film. Anyone can go, oh, I'm going to pick that film.
It is not a harder bet. It's an easier bet.
No, it's hard.
Because you're covering your bases if you're wrong on the first one.
Anyway, that's my prediction. It's going to do the opposite of the other one. To jump on the point you said there, you've got two
idiots. Now, of course, if they don't end up doing the opposite, you're a double loser. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
We'll
worry about
that.
If they don't do the opposite, so if they both go up or they both go down, you lose.
Let's worry about in November. I wanted to pick up on your point, though. Both this and Ant-Man come out between a couple of weeks of each other towards the end of the summer. And you're right. I'm not sure there's room for both of them.
Yeah.
Especially not with Avengers that we didn't talk about in our first episode because it came out super early. Avengers is dominating everything.
Plus, by this point in the summer,
Avengers is like a Hindenburg.
By this point in the summer,
movies.
They'll be promoting Captain America, the Civil Wars thing, which is, I think, in autumn. Unless it's winter. Maybe it's winter, but...
So well, there we are. Is that it?
We have one more trailer.
Okay.
Which is, I gotta find. There we go. This is a different kind of movie.
Ladybug, don't you ever forget that.
The weird thing about this trailer and list is it's subtitled in French. I don't know why we have. We're only going to play a couple moments of that. I just wanted a little more.
What you're about to tell us is very important. Did Ben kill your mom and your sisters?
I was 8 the night they were killed, and suddenly I was famous.
Hey, recognize that voice. Here she is again, yeah. Charlize Theron.
About this clip.
So she started our broadcast, and she's ending our broadcast. Yeah, so all the more reason to have the trailer.
Crimes and mysteries. Ex-cops, private and insurance investigators, lawyers. We solve crimes. That's what we do.
A few in your little club.
There's another name I've just realized that started the summer trailer and is also in this film with Charlize Theron. Remember the film About a Boy with Nick, and the one, the little boy in About a Boy, the Hugh Grant film?
Yeah.
Nicholas Holt. Mm-hmm. He's in Mad Max Fury Road. And I've now just realized, which we did at the start of our summer movie preview in part one, he is actually also in this film with Charlize Theron.
All right.
Called Dark Places, thriller.
Dark Places. So this is based on the book by Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl.
Okay.
So this is going to be the big hook for it. I mean, Gone Girl was, you know, pretty much big success, maybe bigger success than anybody predicted. So I'm going to guess this is the hook. Now, the other member of the household who has read both books are actually
book too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the woman, the author, it's a.
But was the novel, forget the film, was the novel Dark Places as big as the novel Gone Girl?
That I don't know. Like, okay. So the other member of the household who reads more books than this particular member of the household?
Yeah, but are they reading as many books as me?
She put it down. She said, oh, okay. It was rough. Like, so the plot is that this woman, when she was small, her parents are killed, and then, what's the matter?
That dude. Just forget it. Keep going. Sorry.
Her parents are killed. She basically believes that it had some, or they ultimately conclude it had something to do with her brother. Then this years later, this group of amateur internet sleuths,
yeah,
reopen the case, so to speak, and start talking to her. And now it starts questioning the conclusions from the past, which is, you know, when you think about it, is like Gone Girl is double it's twist just, back who's vulnerable and stuff like that. So you can see how it works, all that sort of stuff. The Christina Hendricks from Mad Men is in there.
Okay.
So we've got a couple of Mad Men characters running around here. Chloe Grace Moretz, who might be best known from the Kick-Ass movies. She's also an Equalizer, I think, as a daughter or something like that. But she's in the movie. I don't know what her role is. Maybe she plays the young version of her. I don't know.
But I didn't know anything about this film. I do like Charlize Theron, however you say her name. I do like her a lot. I think it's interesting to see her in something like this. I feel like she's unfortunately become a little one-dimensional with some of the characters she's got stuck to play in her last couple of movies. But the girl can act. If you've ever seen Monster, she can act. She's a good actress. She's not just a pretty face. Obviously, she's with Sean Penn, but, you know, not everything's perfect.
She?
Yeah, she is. I think they're getting married. Obviously, you can tell the disappointment in my voice. That's why I've moved on to Rose Byrne and Carla Gugino, who was in the San Andreas movie that we previewed in part one. It's funny. It's coming out in late August. It's not a traditional summer blockbuster movie type movie. I think it's a fall movie in the way that I think if Gone Girl had come out in the summer, I'm not sure how well it would have done. I think so much of films, their success depends on where.
That's true. Maybe we shouldn't even call this a fall movie because probably it's coming out at the end of the summer. But
it is a summer movie. I'm going to say it's going to be critically well regarded. I think it is a story that's going to twist and turn. Unfortunately, it's going to twist and turn too much for people. I think it bombs financially.
Now I'm going to say both up.
Both up? Ooh, a double up for Eric. Yeah. Double up.
So do we have any, before we move on to anything else, forgot the bell. Do we have any other August movies that, you know, quickies?
I don't think we did. I looked through, there are a couple of things I sort of there's a comedy with Jason Sudeikis called Sleeping With Other People that, you know, is a comedy, you know, looks like it's sort of a more bawdy rom-com, but I've seen that.
Is that with Alison Brie?
Yes, and I've seen that trailer knocking around for
Alison Brie from Mad Men and Community.
No, I don't watch Mad Men. I don't watch Community either. I just get my jaws confused. I've seen that trailer for months. So,
really?
Yes. And then there's another film that I circled. It's a French film called The New Girlfriend. And it's just
French movie.
Yes, that is right. It is done by the same person who did a French thriller called Swimming Pool, which is fascinating. Very cool thriller.
I feel fascinated.
Yeah, it was very cool. So, again, that's a DVD. Recommendation for you, this film called Swimming Pool. This guy's bringing out one called The New Girlfriend. There's nothing else out there, really. I'm just flipping through August. There's a NWA sort of
straight out of Compton. That could be good.
Which could be interesting, done by F. Gary Gray. But that's about it.
All right.
Funny old summer.
Yep. We were going to mention just for a quick moment, you know, there's a person who's in three movies this summer or summer into early fall, Kristen Wiig.
Yep.
Who, of course, was, you know, like everybody was raving about for a while there. And now she's doing Masterminds with Zach Galifianakis, which looks like a sort of a goofy thing.
Goofy thing, yeah. Yep. There's another one she's doing.
Welcome to Me.
Which
where she wins a lottery. And now in that one, she seems to be playing sort of the mousy character.
Yes.
And like she decides to have a talk show that's just her docking, yeah, her life, stuff, yeah, like that. You know. I always worry when you start packing that much stuff in. Do you wear out your welcome? You know, yeah. The third movie is actually the one that's most interesting. Diary of a Teenage Girl. This looks like it's a legit,
because it's not her film. She's in it.
She's playing a mother. She's and her daughter ends up hooking up with her boyfriend or something like that. So this seems like a much darker, deeper movie kind of thing.
To take a
Alexander Skarsgård of True Blood.
She gets around.
So that one looks like it almost, I mean, even the pictures make it look like a, I don't know, like a French or maybe like a, they're all, maybe it is set in the 70s. They all look like they're from the 70s.
And the smoking and everything. And
I think it must be set in the 70s because they're in a Volkswagen Bug and the old kind, not the new kind.
All the upholstery is brown.
So, I mean, listen, everybody's saying great things about her. You know, I'm a big fan of hers. I just worry about people overexposing themselves.
I also think she's someone waiting for the perfect vehicle. And unfortunately for her, Bridesmaids was a team effort, which is very much her film. She wrote it.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, she is eclipsed. Because she's such a good writer, she's eclipsed by Melissa McCarthy and everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think, is it Kristen? The Wiig girl.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to see if any of these three are the perfect vehicle for her.
I think the last...
she's very talented.
This Diary of a Teenage Girl is probably the... If she's successful, that will be the one that turns into a regular actor. Like, the people say, okay, she can do everything, because I don't think it's supposed to be funny at all. I think it's, you know, a drama.
All right, so here we go. So we're at the end now.
Yeah.
It's an interesting summer, I think. We said at the start of part one that I struggled a little bit to really find films that I was like, ooh, yeah. Other than Avengers,
no,
which
lame.
I guess it does seem like a pretty lame summer. So I'm now going to ask you your big prediction, and we've ranked about 20 films. What's the biggest hit of the summer? You're looking up and down. Let me read some of the names from part one.
Listen, here, let me go back. There's over three candidates.
Sorry,
and this, I'm going to throw you on this. I think there are three candidates. You got two regular Mad Max and Jurassic World, and here I'm going to throw you the curveball. Potentially Ant-Man. Like, it'd be wild to me if Ant-Man, like, despite all this, like maybe like Guardians of the Galaxy, it is really funny. People love it. They love Marvel stuff. It's not probable enough for me to say that it'll be the biggest movie of the summer. But boy, that would be, it wouldn't surprise me.
All right, so
I'm going to say.
Oh, you are saying. Well, before you say, you are bypassing Terminator and Mission Impossible, both franchise films deep into a franchise.
Yeah,
aging franchises, to be completely. We got to be fair. Tom Cruise is our age. Arnold is more than our age.
It just so happens they're out the same month.
Out the same month.
Do some damage to each other. They're going to do great, but they're not going to become the biggest movie of the summer.
Biggest film of the summer.
Of course, Jurassic World is part four of a series.
I'm with you what you say. I find it hard to anoint anything other
than... Jurassic World. I'm going to go with Jurassic World.
I find it hard to anoint any film other than a comic book film the biggest film of the summer.
Yeah.
I would lean with you on Jurassic World. And I was going to...
Mad Max is going to be too violent for it, so that's going to trim off a segment.
Remembering what I said an episode ago, I put financial no. So it was funny. Did I actually say that?
Yeah, it'd be tough for you to back. It'd be tough for you to back Mad Max as the biggest movie this summer, since you basically said it wasn't even going to succeed financially.
I can't read my writing on this film here. Oh, Southpaw, yeah. What's TRW?
Tomorrowland?
No. We did it in this episode just before Ant-Man. I'll have to look it up.
Trainwreck.
Trainwreck. Oh, gosh. I mean, I hate to agree with you. Just for the sake of interest, I'd like to pick something
else.
Well,
maybe the important part is, like, listen, let's say we both agree Jurassic World's most likely best. So what's next? Like, I'm saying next, my next ranking is, well, shoot, I'm going to end up being wrong if I say this.
I'm going to go with number two. I agree with you on Jurassic World, so I'm going to circle that. I'm going to star that for both of us, the biggest film of the summer. I'm jumping in.
Go ahead. Number two, what do you think it's going to be?
Mission Impossible.
See, that's where, like, now Mission Impossible and Terminator become candidates to be number two.
No, see, I've
now,
said...
Now the struggle's back on my
I've
side.
I've got to stick with what I said. I think Terminator will open big and drop off. So that's why I'm going by default almost Mission Impossible.
I'm going Ant-Man number two.
Okay, you're going Brave. So there you go. We have both decided that the biggest film of the summer will be
Jurassic World.
My partner says that Ant-Man will be number two. I say Mission Impossible will be number two. Hopefully you've enjoyed it.
We're both almost certain to be wrong.
We are, yeah. Yeah, we are. But you know that...
Again, it's just to be who will be less wrong.
Who will be less wrong. And ultimately that means we're more right. And again, when we review all this stuff in November, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that my exacta comes in.
Yeah.
This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Atlantic_Voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.